This may be one of the most important podcasts we've ever done.
Listen carefully.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 308, Thoughts for Publicists. Now, I wouldn't call the Reduced Shakespeare Company publicity whores, since we don't charge for it. We just give it away. We love doing publicity. I suppose you could call us publicity sluts. But there are some things we don't want to do and some things we'd like to avoid if we can. So on a drive between venues on our recent tour, Reed Martin and I decided to lay down a very loose series of thoughts and guidelines. We should start off by saying, dear publicists, we apologize for putting the name Shakespeare in our company. That cannot be helping matters.
No. Of course, our first show was The Complete Works of William Shakespeare Abridged. It made a lot of sense. RSC, a play on the Royal Shakespeare Company.
That's right. There's only ever three of us.
Yes.
And we have had people over the years saying, could you think about changing the name of the company?
Yeah, but now it's a brand.
I know.
And the Royal Shakespeare Company doesn't just do Shakespeare. They do a lot of other things.
Absolutely.
And we're a reduced Shakespeare company. So Shakespeare is underemphasized, but we're reduced. There's only three of us. We also reduce topics. We're a company.
Right. Monty Python's Flying Circus doesn't have anybody named Monty or no snakes or trapeze artists.
No. And there's no circus. There's no flying. There's none of that. So anyway, two of the words are operative. Yeah, we love to do PR. I think we're good at it.
I wonder if we're also, this is a rare thing, because we're the actors in the company, but we're also the owners of the company, so we have a vested interest. Unlike maybe many actors that tour in a show around the country, we want the thing to sell well, and we're willing to do what we need to do.
Well, we just had, and I think the media people who deal with us are very happy to deal with once we're there.
Yeah.
And just yesterday, Dustin and I did a new news thing in Providence, Rhode Island.
Yeah.
And the woman who was interviewing us was so delighted. She said, oh, sometimes you get people on and they don't know what to say. I don't know what to ask them.
Right.
And I said, well, we've done so many of these things where, I mean, she was great in Providence, but we've had people like college students. We go on a college radio station and they don't know what to ask. So we just have to take over. So we've been doing it for so long. If people ask us questions, we can do that. If they're clueless, we can just take the whole thing over and it works fine too.
Well, and we like radio. We like TV and radio. We particularly like radio because, of course, that's where the big money is. But
and we have the faces for it.
Yes, and we have the faces. But we're also not in awe of it either. You know, these are media which we love playing around in. Sometimes, you know, we'll get somebody say, ooh, we have an opportunity to be on this TV show. Oh, well, what TV show is it? Well, it's very, very far at the tail end of the dial, and nobody watches it, but it's still television. Well, okay. We're not that enamored of television. it has to be some television that we think will do worthwhile. And you know what's funny? I wouldn't turn on Fox News for 5 minutes, or even any of the Fox national morning shows. But generally, in most markets where we've played in America, the local Fox Morning News has the most arts coverage. And that's just been fantastic.
Yeah, I'd say we're on, if you add up ABC affiliates, NBC, CBS, and PBS,
yeah,
I'd say that doesn't add up to as much local coverage as we get on Fox. So for that, we say thank you.
Absolutely.
That being said, we love to do the PR.
Yeah.
We're happy to do it. We're good on drive time radio in the morning, in the afternoon. We're very well known on public radio because we've done all those national NPR shows we've done?
Oh, all of them. Just go down the list. We've been on all of them.
Yeah, All Things Considered and Weekend Edition and to the best of our knowledge. And then on TV, I guess it tends to be news and magazine type shows.
Yeah.
We do that. Now here's a little. This is now we're going to get a little catty.
You might want to consider these pro tips.
Yes, being proactive.
Yeah.
If you're picking us up and driving us to a radio or television station, directions and a GPS are very useful. We've had it on both coasts.
Yeah.
Both on the east and the west, where a publicist picked us up for a 10 or 50 minute drive, which turned into a 30 or 45 minute drive, with stopping and asking for directions and calling the station. And it just seems basic, but we're just going to mention that.
Yeah. Well, here's another pro tip. You know, Reed said we'd love to do morning radio. We like to do late morning drive time radio. You know, we don't need to be out there at 5:30 because we work at night. But we'd love to be on there sort of any time from sort of 8:30 on.
Yes. And if necessary, we will go earlier. But all things considered, please push us as late as possible in the morning.
Yeah.
Also,
And most of the publicists we're talking to know this already.
They know this already.
Those are jokes for people listening.
We're just being bitchy. Yeah. Yes. Mondays are our days off.
Yes.
Let's not do any PR on those days.
Yes, no.
And even Tuesday mornings sort of we can feel like a day off. So if we can avoid all day Monday and as much of Tuesday as possible, that would be great.
And that sounds kind of like we're being babies, which we are, but it's also a rule laid down by our union Actors Equity that we're not allowed to do anything on a Monday. Now, again, sometimes Reed and I can waive those rules, but we don't like to.
Let's see. Social media. We are very active in social media.
Yeah.
On the Twitter, on what they call the Facebook. Some of the public out there may have heard of these things.
Yeah. Not so active on the MySpace anymore, or the Friendster. And try, as many people have tried, we are not on LinkedIn, which I still don't get the purpose of LinkedIn. If anybody has any pro tips on LinkedIn for us, we'd be glad to hear them.
I think it has to do with that guy on Mod Squad, LinkedIn. What was his name?
LinkedIn. Yeah, Lincoln.
Yeah.
And also this podcast itself is a social media. But it's great to be active in the social media, but that's sort of the key word, active. You have to. Social media is a whole thing. It can't just be a broadcast thing. It just can't be, hey, here's some great reviews we got, or hey, we've got shows coming up. You have to be a little bit creative with your social media. And some of the places where we played have been fantastic at this. You really need you. What's fantastic about social media is that you develop a relationship with your audience that is over and above just them buying a ticket to the show. It gives them gives them an opportunity to be vested in the relationship with your venue, with your organization, so they might come and try out a performance of something that maybe they haven't heard of.
Yeah, so if you know we're coming to your theater, you know, find us on Facebook, find us on Twitter.
Yeah.
We will tweet and Facebook about coming, and the theater can do it as well. We will be mentioning you in our weekly podcast if we're coming to your theater.
Well, and we would love to get you to appear on our podcast. There's a whole number of ways you could do this, either via a complete interview. If you look on our website, the list of venues where we played, and you click on those links, the links will lead you to interviews with the artistic and administrative personnel of that theater, telling us about the venue. We play some fantastic venues around the world, and we would love to feature your venue on the podcast as well.
Yes, also we have www.reducedshakespeare.com. There's a lot of info on there. Yeah, if you want to look at our promo video, if you want to look at a radio spot, we have a generic radio spot that you can add your own tag to. We're also happy to make a custom radio spot for your venue. Just give us the info.
Yeah. Here's a pro tip just for us. Do we still have to say www anymore? Or can you just say reducedshakespeare.com?
Well, let me think about that. www.austin.titchener.
Yes. See, oh, okay. I guess you do have to say it.
I think I overdo it a little.
Dub, dub, dub.
Yeah.
Dub, dub, dub. Or Stephen Fry says, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah. reducedshakespeare.com. The other thing is we have the Reduced Reader, our e-newsletter, which goes out every month or two, and we will be promoting you in that, just so you know.
Well, and it's also the other thing, we get that sometimes, going back to our apology, we get that sometimes it's hard to define what it is we do. We take large, boring topics and make them short and silly is sort of our catchphrase for all the shows that we do. But then each show is a little bit different. Sometimes you'll say, well, we've done the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged, we've done the complete history of America abridged, and you'll say, oh, we're doing Christmas now. And everybody goes, wow, oh, fantastic, I know exactly what that's going to be. But they only know that if they know of us.
Yeah, like right now, this fall, it's election season, we're touring our special election edition of the History of America abridged. Now, and we performed in a venue where I see it just listed, Reduced Shakespeare Company, Complete History of America abridged. Now, we're a little well known.
Yeah.
We're certainly not household names.
We're culty.
Yes, we're culty. And so this venue didn't use any, we have a ton of press quotes, good press quotes, yeah, review quotes for all of our shows. Use those, because we have one that says the History of America abridged is what the Daily Show would be like if it were hosted by the Marx Brothers.
Yeah.
So if you just see History of America abridged, that sounds like it might be dry and boring, which most nights it isn't.
Most nights. But, well, and that's, you know, so grateful to John Stewart, because we wrote the American Complete History of America abridged in 1993. But it wasn't until the rise of the Daily Show in the 2000s that suddenly there became a shorthand way to explain what it is. Oh, it's a funny look at American history. Got it.
This is Witchy Poo, and you are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Our fall of 2012 tour continues with the final performances of the special election edition of the Complete History of America abridged this weekend in Hilton Head, South Carolina, Hurricane Sandy permitting. And then we begin our first tour of the ultimate Christmas show abridged to Reston, Virginia, Charlotte, North Carolina, Fort Worth, Texas, St. Louis, Missouri, Anchorage, Alaska, and for 3 weeks we'll be at the San Diego Repertory Theater in San Diego, California. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information.
Now, personal appearances. We don't really like to do excerpts at malls.
Well, this is a very good thing. You know, oftentimes we'll go on TV or radio and people will say, and now we'd like them to do a bit from our show, which we don't like to do. Generally, we like to be like stand-ups on a TV show or like actors on a TV show where you just sit on the couch, you talk to the host, and we work the funny lines from the show into the conversation.
So it just sort of seems like we're making it up as opposed to, and now here's a bit.
And now here's a bit, which always looks terrible.
Yes.
Particularly on television, because they often cut away and we don't look like anything. I mean, it's not good. It's so much better when we can just work it into conversation.
Well, and then it comes as a surprise to everybody. Yes. Now, appearances at shopping malls. We've also done appearances at bookstores. What we have discovered is, unless there's radio or television coverage, it's kind of a waste of time. Nobody's expecting to see us. It's a very limited number of people who happen to be wandering by, who will happen to stop, who will happen to be wanting to go to the show. So, in general, just a personal appearance in a public place, we have not found to be useful unless we can get media coverage.
Right. What's been lovely about our experience in many places is that historically we tend to bring a slightly different crowd into a venue. For instance, when we first went to the Kennedy Center in 1994, I think, we sold out. We just kept extending and extending. We were booked in there for, I think, 2 or 3 weeks, and we ended up running for 11 or 12 because we just kept extending. And we were bringing in a completely different audience than the Kennedy Center normally get. It was younger. It was college kids or parents whose college kids have told them that they'd seen us on campus, and then that was a good thing. But sometimes venues are not set up to advertise to that different audience. And I know this could be a challenge because the venue advertises to the people who come to the venue. But it's hard to get outside that bubble of just the people who normally come because there are a lot of other people out there. Again, going back to the Kennedy Center, we did the Complete World of Sports abridged a couple summers ago at the Kennedy Center. And of all the venues we played, the Kennedy Center was perhaps the most successful at reaching out specifically to sports fans via targeted media buys in the on local sports radio. That when we played the New Victory in New York off Broadway, the New York Times ran their review of the sports show in the sports section, which was terrific. It really was got the word of that show out to the people who might enjoy it the most. Sadly, this summer of 2012, during the Olympics, we were not allowed to go pass flyers out at any of the Olympic venues or to any of the enormous long queues where sports fans were standing looking for other things to do after their event was over. So that was kind of a drag. But all of our different shows appeal to people who like comedy, people who like to laugh, appeal to people who like theater. But then there are the people who like sports or the movies or American history or church groups who come to see the Bible, the Complete Word of God, abridged.
Yes, people say, often publicists ask, well, what is the age appropriateness of the show? They vary from show to show, but generally we say, our joke answer is PG-13, pretty good if you're 13, 13 or older. Now, honestly, that's a little conservative. I'd say there's nothing that we do in any of the shows that couldn't be done on primetime television.
Which is still a pretty low bar.
It's a low bar, but we're not using profanity.
No.
There's no nudity. There's innuendo. So we say PG-13 just to be on the safe side, so that nobody brings their 9-year-old and, you know, but honestly, our kids are our kids.
Yeah, our kids are warped anyway.
Yeah.
But I remember we were workshopping the Bible, the Complete Word of God, abridged at the American Repertory Theater in Cambridge, Massachusetts. We had just finished the God talking to Abraham scene, where Abraham is asked by God to sacrifice his son and then cut off his foreskin, which is where we get the ritual of circumcision. Well, it talks about penis and foreskins. And right after the lights come down on that scene, I walk out on stage to give the next bit of narration. And I come out and I see a family of five get up and leave. Well, I saw a mom and a dad stand up and make their three children stand up, and then they got up and leave. I guess they, in a show about the Bible, they weren't interested in hearing about Abraham and circumcision.
No. Well, circumcision and penis are the actual scientific words for those things.
That is the exact nomenclature. Yes, exactly. It's not like we said any of the crude slangs that one could use for that part of the anatomy. So I'm not exactly sure what the thing is, but I mean, maybe that's just a thing where you go, I don't want to have that conversation with my kids. Why you would take up their show about the Bible then? I don't know.
Yes.
If you're going to start banning books based on sex and violence, that Bible, that's number one.
Yes. We provide an opportunity to talk about things.
Yes. You know, the point is, you know your own children better than we do. So, buyer beware.
Yes. We will say the show is not for the humor impaired.
This is true.
You know, the Bible show is you know, it's a celebration of the stories of the Bible.
Yeah.
If you don't think there could possibly be anything funny about the Bible, then don't come see the show.
Yeah.
If you find the Bill Cosby Noah routine funny, then that show might be up your alley.
Yeah.
The other thing we wanted to say, we noticed this particularly touring England, but it's true in America. Posters and flyers.
Yeah.
We have those. We will send them to you. I think it's got to be true about 90% of the time. If we get into a town and walk around and we do not see a single poster or flyer anywhere, the show is probably not going to sell well.
Yeah.
It seems basic. I mean, people don't read newspapers anymore, right? And we also appeal to a younger crowd.
Yeah.
And so that's why the social media is important. But also posters and flyers around town just make people aware. We send them to you. We don't charge you for the posters unless you're asking for an excessive amount.
Yeah.
And so that's just getting them out there and making people aware, very, very useful, and not done as much as it should be.
Well, and that's the one of the other purposes of social media as well, which is that there's no one way to reach people anymore. People hang out in all these different areas, and you've got to be reaching everybody. Now, also, times is tough. Selling theater is hard. I get that, and I've heard this said now. more than once too. You know, artists and publicists complain about how hard it is to publicize shows and get the word out. And then I've heard development people say, "Oh, you want to know what's hard? Raising money for theater."
Yes, I believe them. I absolutely believe them.
I do too. Yeah.
Now we play around the world. We play one and two nighters. Those tend to be civic venues or university venues, and then we go places for sometimes a week, 2 weeks, 6 weeks at regional theaters. In the United States, we've played the Kennedy Center, we've played the Lincoln Center, but then a lot of LORT theaters, Pittsburgh Public Theater, Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park, San Diego Rep, Seattle Rep, on and on and on, American Repertory Theater. Now, these venues, a lot of these venues tend to produce their own shows. Now, we are a book-in show, and sometimes people say, well, we produce our own work, why would we book you in? Well, I think there's at least a couple of good reasons. One is we give the production crew a break for one show in a season if you book us in. They don't have to build a show. They don't have to rehearse a show. We come self-contained. So that can be very useful. And the second thing we touched on earlier is we appeal, I think, to a slightly younger, hipper crowd than generally go to LORT theaters. And the theaters find that appealing. That if we can get these people into the theater for the first time, they will come back. And so those are two big reasons why I think LORT theaters might book us.
Well, and I think the line between publicity and marketing is getting thinner these days because it's all sort of brand awareness. And your venue has its own brand. And hopefully what Reduced Shakespeare Company does is fit into your brand. But then the Reduced Shakespeare Company has its own brand of serious silliness, of reverent irreverence. And so when when we're talking to publicists, we're really talking to everybody in the department, the publicists, the marketing people, the social media people, and the executive director and the artistic director and the box office person. We've all got to be on the same page of how we're selling our brand.
And if people don't know about the Reduced Shakespeare Company, if you're out there, well, who is the we have our own YouTube page. So if you want to go to the Reduced Shakespeare YouTube and search Reduced Shakespeare Company, we have our own page. Two of our shows are out on DVD, The Complete Works of William Shakespeare Abridged and The Complete History of America Abridged. And I think most of those are probably up on YouTube. You could probably see most of those shows on YouTube, unfortunately. But yes. We'll also send you the DVD if you want it.
Yeah.
We can send you a promotional video. It's available on our website if you want to see what it is, but if you need it on a DVD, we can burn you a DVD. It's very helpful to run our promotional video in your lobby on a monitor or link to it on your theater's webpage. So somebody goes, "Well, Reduced Shakespeare Company, what is that? Oh, that's a very funny promo video. I got to go see that show."
I guess the point is what we're saying is we're here. Use us. Exploit us. Take advantage of us.
Please, please.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your publicity thoughts or questions via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans on our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a Twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey. Less of a Slut and More of a Hound, Matthew Croak. Music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Claudia_ICLA_. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Witchy Poo and her agent Diana Roten and sound engineer Ali Bostedt for making her appearance possible. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 308 924ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Patronize us. And by that I mean buy stuff from us and talk down to us.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
And so much less.